God's doing wonderful things. We want to talk about them today. Number one is we're going to start heading on talking about Jesus. We can't talk, you can't talk about salvation. You can't talk about the Bible. Jesus is the author of it. The scriptures tell us he was in the beginning. He was the one in the beginning. He was the creator. It says, all things were made by him. Without him, nothing that exists. Hallelujah. He's called the Word of God. We're going to look at him, and we want to pick up some things because we need to understand where we're at. Peter made these statements at 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 18 through 20. Peter said, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers. Now, he was talking about the Jews. In other words, you didn't get saved by your religious traditions. See, I was born and raised in religious traditions, and they never saved me. Religious traditions and stuff and what men do does not save. There is a Savior, but it's not them. See, and people, we love traditions. We like it. See, today we see the great emphasis. Today they don't call it tradition, they call it culture. And every group has their culture. And culture, if you go into the church world today, culture is here, the Word is here. The Word never holds the place of culture. Culture's the highest. You gotta hold culture up here. Culture. Well, that's what Jesus dealt with. That was the opposition to Jesus, was the culture of the Jews. See, he told them, hey, they're saying the right things, but don't do what they do. You know, he said, yeah, you've taken the Word of God and you've made it to no effect. See, if the God's Word doesn't have effect in your life, there's no purpose for it. There's no reason. Don't waste your time. Amen. God's Word is to have an effect. And so, I don't know about you, I want it to affect me. I want it to do something. He went on to say, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, we don't have basically in the church world, we don't have a blood religion anymore, but yet it is. That's what it is. It's a blood religion. We don't like to talk about that because, see, we're a clean society. You know, we wear masks. We do all this stuff because we're just so, you know, we're so clean and all that kind of stuff. You know, you won't get much of Americans, you know, right now, if you took the majority of Americans, even in church, you hauled them to a third world country to minister to people, they'd never want to touch them. That's right, they wouldn't.
It's true.
You know, man, I tell you what, I've laid hands on people in other countries I've been in, and I'm going to tell you what, people, you know, I mean, people say, do you got your wipes along? Oh, yeah. But we are in our country today. Everything's got to be so clean. Everybody's so touchy about everything. Everything they're going to touch, they're going to die. Oh, everything got to be so clean. And, you know, you go around and lay hands on people, you know. Jesus touched lepers. People say, don't do that. I ministered to people already. I don't know what they had, but I'll tell you what, I didn't ask. I just, you don't want to influence your faith to say that. No, you just lay hands on them, believe God, and you believe God for you too.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, if you're afraid to lay hands on them, don't even bother because you ain't got no faith to lay hands on them anyhow. If God can't protect you, it's a good chance He can't heal them either, right?
That's right.
I mean, you got to get yourself, you believe. See, we have all this, you got to get in your mind about this thing of what you're going to do. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Oh, and everything ain't clean. Everything ain't wonderful. Hallelujah. But we were redeemed. It says, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Jesus was, but was manifest in these last times for you. Hallelujah. So we're living this for you time. People before were looking for this, but we're living in this Jesus that has been manifested for you, or we could say for us. He's been manifested for us. Hallelujah. Now it says he was foreordained. That word foreordained means destined or ordained in advance. And really, ordained, it comes from the word ordained. The ordain is to establish or order by appointment, decree, or law. So, God ordained this. One of the synonyms for ordained is enacted. God enacted this thing before the foundation of the world. This was enacted, foreordained that God would do this, would send Christ. Hallelujah. So, in the redemption through the blood, you are redeemed. Redemption is a payment of whatever. Now, we need to understand how important it is we talk about redemption, because see, we don't preach the full gospel today. We just preach Jesus saves. That's all. Jesus saves. Yeah. He's in a bank. It just went under. That's where he was saving at, that SVB. I don't know. Most of them, because you know, most of the church think God is bankrupt. God is bankrupt because all he can do is save people and you just hang on and try to get by while you're here. That's what you do. You're just we're just trying to get through and hold on while the Democrats do their stuff. And the Republicans and whoever or what. You know, we're just trying to get through this stuff. No, we're redeemed. The wonderful thing, our redemption is what deals with the areas of sin, but the cause of sin. It doesn't do any good for you. People say, well, I got my sins forgiven. But if the curse is still on you, right. Well, then what good is redemption? Redeemed from what? If you're redeemed, you know, people say, well, I'm saved. Saved from what? People, you know, you say, what are they saved for? Well, today, this is one thing. We preach a gospel of forgiveness, which is not the full gospel. It's about this much of it. About that much of the gospel of forgiveness. We call that the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in the gospel, but it's not the gospel. See, we don't preach redemption. The whole thing, if I'm redeemed, that means I have to be redeemed from its effect. If I am redeemed from poverty, then I have to be redeemed from the things of living in poverty, wouldn't I?
Yep.
Well, see, you can't, if I'm redeemed from something, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You read the curse, every sickness, every ugly thing of poverty, any kind of ugly poverty you could think of, sickness and disease, any bad thing you could think of is listed under the curse. Read Deuteronomy 28. Tells you what the curse is. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Every ugly thing was in, that's redemption. Redemption was not, they say, well, it's a forgiveness of sin. I have been redeemed from the things that the curse brought. If it doesn't, then it is a worthless redemption. Bulls and goats was every bit as good. Every bit as good. It couldn't do it. Our redemption changed us. Made us into something. See, we don't do it. You don't hear very much anymore people talk about getting born again. It's all about getting sins forgiven. Oh, the devil loves that message. He loves that all the Christians, get your sins forgiven, get your sins, and just live like hell. Because see, Jesus forgives your sin. He don't change you. He just doesn't care if you sin anymore because you accepted him. It's a worthless gospel. It's worthless. Because the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. So if you can't overcome, you're going to live under a curse. And we're taught, we have a gospel of you live under the rock. Jesus pulls you out and says, I love you, and sets the rock back on you. That's Christianity today. Good luck. We got 12-step programs. We'll put you in one. And for the rest of the life, you get to go once a week to a place. They lift the rock, say, God loves you. And you do this, say this. Put the rock back down. You're still bound. That's what they do. I mean, this is just stuff we're doing today. Hallelujah. See, we don't preach true redemption. We don't preach because that's what changed my life.
Amen.
Because I heard Christ redeemed me from the curse. It was preached. And when I believed the gospel, I expected a changed life. People don't expect a changed life. They're going on living the same old way they always lived. Why? You can't blame them. That's what they're all you got. You're forgiven now. Good luck. Pat you on the back. Send you on your way. God forgave you. Israel had forgiveness before Jesus ever came along. They had forgiveness. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say, you must be forgiven. Did he say that? Did he ever say, you must be forgiven to enter the kingdom of God?
No.
Never said it. The church quotes other people. Other people. We're in the same dilemma, and you need to, don't let yourself get over into this. It's easy to get into because it's what you hear all the time. You hear things said, these things said, and they're always said. They sound nice. They sound very religious, but we need to get out from under here. See, we have made the word of God no effect. We have traditions that are being preached. What happens is somebody started preaching, people started preaching forgiveness of sin and made it the big deal. And they kept, so everybody just goes around and starts mimicking it. And after a while, it becomes your truth. It's what you believe is true, because there is forgiveness. But our forgiveness is not like the Jew got forgiven under the law. Our forgiveness is based upon a new creation. God removed sin from us. Their sin wasn't removed. It's like all these songs that they put you under the blood. You're not under the blood. You're not under the blood. You're redeemed. The blood redeemed you. I want you to see something interesting. In Matthew, the first chapter, I want to read this to you here, a statement made. This was made here, Joseph. You remember Joseph and Mary. So God told Mary she's going to get pregnant. When Joseph found out, this is what happens with Joseph. Because Joseph, God didn't appear to him and tell him what was going on. And in Matthew, the first chapter, verse 19, it says this: Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. He said, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Then he said, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And listen to what he says, for he will save his people from their sin. Did you notice what he didn't say? He didn't say, he will forgive your people of their sin. He said he's going to save you from sin. Israel had never been saved from sin. You look up at the old covenant, it ain't mentioned. Ever mentioned in the old covenant. They were never saved from sin in the old covenant. Never. He said this Jesus is going to do something. It's remarkable. He is going to save man from sin.
Amen.
See, this is what's preached today. Well, you know, you accept Jesus, but you're just going to sin. You're not saved from it. Well, the Bible tells us that we're going to be redeemed from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of the Son. Oh, we're not redeemed from the power. No, darkness still dominates you. Darkness still rules. Sin will not lord over you. Oh, yes, it will. You're just going to sin. See, we have the gospel of sin preached. Sin rules and reigns. And we call it the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today it's called the gospel. I've listened to people preach it ever since I've come in the kingdom. I've listened to people preach that, called it the gospel. You know, God's love for you was so much that He forgave you, and He knows you're just going to do rotten and you're not going to do good. He knows that. And you just, you know, you'll get by. He's still going to love you. He's going to take you to heaven in spite of you being a moron and an idiot. The Bible calls you righteous. It calls you holy. The righteous and holy people are going to be dominated by sin. You see, the church has been dominated by sin because we've been preached, you're supposed to be. And boy, people don't believe it. Went on with it. People don't believe today in being holy and right. They don't believe in it. Why? That's not preached. Why? It's a different gospel. See, that's what happened with the Galatians. And Paul came along and said, you're preaching another Christ. It ain't the one that I preach. You're preaching a different one. You see, we need to come out from under this. The gospel is more wonderful than it's being preached. I thank God, when I came in the kingdom, there was a true gospel being preached, and it's been lost. I've watched men water it down, and people just accept it. And I'm going to tell you what, the so-called faith group has accepted it as much as any group. They're in it up to their necks. In the beliefs of it. And in doing so, the power of God wanes. We want God to change things while we kill the power of God with our gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is not our message.
Amen.
The gospel is. And if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. That's why people won't preach the gospel, because it brings persecution. People don't like to hear that if you don't, it's Jesus to get to heaven or nothing. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Other religions ain't going. Other religions aren't going. I'm sorry, you believe in some other God. That's our gospel. No one comes to the Father except through Him, Jesus. That's it. This is why Christianity is hated. Because other religions accept all kinds of stuff. Come as you are, stay as you are, and leave as you are. And we preach that in America. You come to church, nothing changes. If you're uncomfortable, find a church that preaches what you want. It's all right. Pick the church of your choice. Pick the church, the feel-good church of your choice. The one that will tell you you're all right while you're going to hell. The one will tell you can live in sin and it's okay and there's no payment for it. It's Jesus took care of it all. It's not preached in the gospel. The gospel says to the Christian, you're going to reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You know, if you're going to live in the flesh, you're going to have problems. The devil's going to come visit you. There's no reason to live right. Why? You know, the majority of Paul's letters that he wrote had to do with our personal conduct. The parts they don't preach it. those aren't exciting, you know. About, you know, Ed, you got to get your flesh in line. that's not the one people want to hear. Now, preach me a gospel that tells me I can live like hell and God still loves me. Yeah, everybody's in hell. God loves them. God loved them, every one of them. That's, you know. But loving somebody and living with them is another thing. There's people I love and I would never want to live with them. I love them. I want to see them saved and that stuff, but we ain't getting together. I'm sorry. Not miles. And God ain't either.
Amen.
God don't accept everything. The Bible says this. Jesus made the quote that those that don't believe, the wrath of God abides on them. That's what Jesus said. That's a tough gospel to take. That's a hard gospel. That's, man. Do you know what? The fact to preach that we can live like hell and just be Christians and go like that is a slap on the face of the death of Jesus Christ. It's like going up the cross while he was dying and spitting on him. It's no difference. It's spitting on his what he did. It's disgusting what the church have done. They have no respect for the cross of Christ at all. And yet run around with their little symbols, wearing them on their necks. Yeah, sometimes I wish those chains would choke them. It's disgusting. Running around with religious symbols and have no respect. It wasn't some nice little cream gold cross. It was a place of sin and shame. It was there because of my sin and my shame. He hung there. And to disrespect it, the fact that, it's no big deal. Now we can just do what we want and that stuff and we're just all right. You know, you can sin. You don't have to repent anymore or anything. Oh, that's okay. Well, write books, sell them by the millions, get millions of dollars, buy airplanes and everything, flying around, helping people go to hell. And the church, the Christians love them. I'm just going to tell you, you can go to other countries, you can go to third world countries and get a better gospel preached than you'll get in America. Oh, yeah. And you get it preaching too good here in America, they'll criticize you for it. You know? Hallelujah. See, Jesus Christ delivers man from sin, what sin did to man. Jesus delivered me from what sin, from the drugging and the drinking. He delivered me. He delivered me from that. He delivered me from that life. He delivered what that did to me. Fried brain, you know? Messed up. He delivered me from that.
Hallelujah.
He didn't just say, I forgive you. He said, Ed, I'm going to change you.
Amen.
You're not going to be the same anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to have the mind of Christ. And I needed one because mine wasn't no good. And today, people call salvation and they end up with the same old stupid mind they had before and go on with their same stupid life. And call that salvation?
No.
They call that redemption? Hallelujah! Got something better. Glory to God! We get something better. And that's Jesus saves man from sin and all its causes, what it has done to man. Save from it. Hallelujah. Delivers man from that. See, that's what we need to preach to people. We need to tell people that are in a mess. Not just, God loves you. Get over just saying stupid stuff like that. Because the whole meaning of, well, how much does he love you? Well, he'll take you to heaven, but you're going to have hell here. Well, it ain't going to work for you while you're here.
Yeah.
You just have to one day want to croak so you can go over there and then he'll be nice to you. But while you're down here, good luck. Christ redeemed me for the cause of the pain I bought. The pain I brought to my family. The pain I did. He redeemed me. It's like what my wife said. She wasn't saved and I got saved. And she said, I'm living with a different man.
Praise God.
If you got saved and nobody noticed, you didn't get saved. I don't know that salvation. I know the delivered from sin. I know to be saved from sin and what its effect on my life.
Amen. Preach.
That's the wonder of it. That's the glory of our gospel, folks. Hallelujah. See, you're as a Christian. I feel sorry because, see, many Christians have been preached a very weak gospel. See, you can come out of a deadness if you just listen to what the truth said. Man, I've been living under the rock, and I've been listening to the preachers preaching to me under the rock. They never take the rock off of me and set me on top of it. They just leave me under the rock and tell me, Jesus, love me. Send a check, you'll be all right. Send a check, we're firing up the jet now. Hurry, we're going to go reach the world. I'm convinced. Many ministers don't want people to get free because they found out what they're like. It'd be bondage. You know, that's what I always look for. If I feel like a minister always wanting to put his hand in my pocket, we just break relationship. You know, we don't get very good. I don't mind people preaching about money and how to be blessed by money. We need to understand that. We need to understand and know that. Hallelujah is number one. I've got to bond and I've got to be really good givers. But we got there by following the gospel. We didn't need somebody twisting our arm about giving. Because we found out the freedom we had in Christ Jesus. And number one, I know how to listen to the Holy Ghost. And he can tell me what to do with my money. Hallelujah. That I don't have to list some guy trying to always get, you know. If you don't give here, you miss it today, I'll tell you, God ain't going to be able to help you. Say, good. He ain't going to be able to help you either because you ain't getting my money. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
I'll always remember the day after I got saved and the Lord said to me, did you notice you don't have to drink anymore? See, I was set free. And I just got a smile on my face. I thought, it's incredible. I don't have to. I hadn't lived like that for years. I was bound. I could not stay away from it. He said, did you notice you don't have to drink? I said, wow, I never had that choice before. It wasn't a choice. See, I was redeemed from that cause. Sin had caused that thing to bind me. And when I became a new man, sin couldn't hold me on that anymore. See, we don't preach to people. You know, you're a drug addict. Hey, God will set you free from drugs. God will set you're free. Anything that binds you and holds you, you're already free from it if you're born again. You just need to know. You need to accept the truth that I am free. Start talking about your freedom instead of your bondage. That's why you can't go to the 12-step program because all they talk about is the bondage. You go to the 12-step program, they'll talk about what your problem is. You know what your problem is? The person telling you what your problem is. That's what your problem is. And you're dumb enough to sit there and listen to them. Say, no, the Bible says, see, you believe in a higher power. What's a higher power? You know, just stick your finger in a socket, you'll get some power. It'll be higher, but that ain't what sets you free.
Amen.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The devil's a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's a higher power. You think he's going to set you free?
No.
See, say, believe a higher power. Like that's some kind of religious thing. I mean, no. Our salvation is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved.
Hallelujah.
You'll be saved from sin and its effect in your life. That's what you want. Hallelujah. See, people are keep praying and asking God. And I thank God I learned it early, had good teaching. But I got the revelation early in life that I was free. When I learned about, I'm not trying to ask God to heal me. He's already done it. My job is to receive it. See, Jesus ain't going to save anybody. He's already saved everybody. What we do is preach to people, and it's as many as receive him. Not as many as he saves. It's as many as receive him. They become sons of God. We receive what he's already done. On that cross, he already took the sin of the world. That's why Paul said to the church at Corinth, you're an ambassador to Christ. We're supposed to tell people God's not holding sin against them.
Amen.
Where's that preached? Tell the world, you know, this isn't a sin issue anymore. It's not the sin issue with people. It's the Christ issue.
Amen.
That's what we preach to people. That's why we preach. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a just, why? It's the Christ. As many as receive Him. As many as believe on His name. Hallelujah. See, that's what makes all this work. And we need to, this gospel, we need to understand its power. What God has done through this gospel. And that's why as preaching gospel, we need to get back to ourselves as Christian. See, you can't preach conviction to anybody. God would help them if you don't know if He'd help you. See, I can tell people, yeah, God has set me free. If I'm living under something, it's because I'm either ignorant of it or I'm just rebellious and not trying to walk in it. But see, it's coming. First thing you got to come to, you got to come a revelation of truth. See, people say, well, you know, Christians come and they say they need delivered. Delivered from what? Say, did you know Jesus already delivered you? Did you know that? You know, it's easy to receive your deliverance when you found out it already belongs to you. See, it's not hard for me to get out of the bank and ask for money that's in my account. I don't go in there and whine. I don't pray and fast at all before I go to the bank. I don't do it at all. I don't pray and fast at all before I go to the bank. I don't go down there. Now, if you were in that SVB bank, you might want to pray and fast. Find out where your money went. They call that a tech bank. So you should have known going into that. That went good with the title, a tech bank. That's... But anyhow, see, when you go, you know what is yours and in your account. You go down with every bit of expectancy that when you're going to ask for what you want, you're going to get that. That's, you have every expectancy. You know, I know this, but Wanda and I, if I wanted to go borrow money, you know, we don't have any debts or anything, but if I wanted to borrow money, I know this. I could go down to the bank and I know if I ask them for money, they're going to give it to me that quick. We ain't gonna go through nothing to get it. It ain't gonna be anything. I mean, my words. When they find out that you have money and pay things, they send you things all the time trying to get you to borrow money. The banks are sending things. You know, they'll tell you, since you're good, ready, you're good. Why don't you come down? You know, we'll give you a bunch of money if you want it. Hallelujah. Well, what about God and His plan? Do you know what's in your account? Do you know what you see? And Jesus said, when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. It's the whole idea that you believe it belongs to you. You couldn't believe you receive what you don't believe belongs to you. This is why people can't pray by faith. They'll talk about, I'm praying. Yeah, but not by faith. They don't believe that God's already given to you. They're trying to get God to give it to them. And when are you going to believe you receive it? When I see the money, then I'll believe I have it. Well, there's no faith involved in that. That's what the sinners do. They go down, they go and they do it the exact same way. That's the way they go. They go down, the guy that don't pay his bills and stuff, he goes down and tries to figure out how he can get them to lend them money. Where's the place that says, you know, I go to the car place that says, you know, that has on the thing or bad credit, you can still get the car. I want to go to that place. Hey, that's like being, hey, I lived under that, the devil. That's the devil's kingdom. You don't got nothing, you're trying to get things fixed. You want God to fix it while you live in the devil's kingdom. When you get real bad trouble, you ask somebody else to pray for it. Because you know this, God probably ain't talking to you about it. And that's why you're looking for somebody that knows God. When people get in trouble, they never look for their drug addict friend to help them.
That's right.
Believe me, I know. I didn't go to drunks for help. I went for a drink. You're just not drunk enough, Ed. You need another drink. Just forget about your problems. Yeah, you forgot about them until you started sobering up, and there it was, still there in your face. I just... Live there with that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good preaching, folks. Hallelujah. But I want to see something because God's plan is sending Jesus. And we're going to look and see God had a plan. We found it was foreordained. This thing God had set in motion. And we want to look at this for that fact. Is where is man? You must see yourself in God's plan and the importance of you being in the plan of God. We would not have salvation today if it wouldn't have been for people in the earth. Do you know God had to become a man to change things here? He couldn't change it. Hey, he's up there. People tell, wow, God, he could do anything. Well, people say that kind of stuff. They might as well be in the bar drinking rice. They might as well drink because it's we call it gospel and we're telling the truth. Ain't no truth in it. We can prove it through scripture, and we will as we go on. There's one of the things that I wanted to know, and I was thinking about as we were worshiping this morning, and I was just thinking about, you know, we're singing about God. We want God to use us. We want God to do something through us. You need to understand how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't not more going to happen here than God can work through the people.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to just happen. If he can't use you, well then, you know, you're on a limit what God can do. It isn't, well, what do you can do for this guy over here? Let's get a big, we always like the big name, you know, give him a big somebody. Thank God people God can use through. But most people God's not doing, most Christians God's not doing anything through. He doesn't want it that way. And we shouldn't. We need to understand, I want you to understand the importance of it. And I learn it really as a baby Christian. In fact, it's almost 43 years ago, this year it'll be 43 years ago, that I got a revelation from God. I was a young Christian, and I found this out. And God reminded me of something this morning. It was pretty interesting, sitting here, that he just quickly came through to me, different things that God gave me revelations on over the years, things that I saw, and things that happened where I had encounters where God spoke to me or did something in a very supernatural way. And almost every one of those is because I had asked a question. And what happened took place because of the question I answered. And he told me to say that this morning because you need to know that. See, many people, this is what they do. You know, we come to church and we've been trained in this as so-called spirit-filled, you know, faith people. Do you come to church? Well, do you come to church expecting? And the whole thing is the expectation that God's going to do something through the guy who's speaking and the guy who's there. And that's wrong. We should have an expectation that something can be said. But everything you need in your questions, it's not going to be answered. I mean, if you want to be here for 4 weeks straight, you get ready to come to camp, maybe we can let God can talk. You know, we're in a culture, you don't want to stay that long. Which means you're going to have to hear on your own. And you're going to have to hear things. And a lot of what you're going to have to hear, you're going to have to seek God enough where you get questions. You see, I saw it, and this one thing, if you're going to spend time seeking God, you're going to have questions. If you don't have questions for God, I can tell you this, you don't spend much time really seeking. You know, I was just here just yesterday. I mean, I'd already had things and notes and concerning teaching and that stuff, but I just took the Bible out and started reading through on a subject I was going to, but I read a certain section of the Bible and I just started slowly reading through it and then just looking up certain things and started looking up certain things and reading through and I got questions. I thought, wow, I didn't see that way before. So I asked the Lord about it. I said, well, no one's ever spoken much about this. That's really interesting that this is said. So I start asking questions, and the Holy Spirit started talking to me. See, if you already know something, the Holy Spirit has nothing to talk to you about. What's he going to talk to you? He'll say to you all the time, oh, you're so cute, you're so nice, you're just so wonderful. God loves you so much. No, I always, Holy Spirit, the job of the Holy Spirit is to teach me. The job of the Holy Spirit is to take what I don't know and reveal it to me. If you ain't asking questions, you're going to stay on the side of not knowing much. Our expectation, people say, what are you expecting? An expectation is something you believe God is going to answer or do. What was your expectation? Just because you expect God to do something, well, he might maybe want one of the lenses of light fall down on your head. Well, how about that? That being fill your expectation? You know, what is it? What do you want? Well, an expectation is something that you want or something you're requiring or asking of God. What's your question? See, I used to go to, in Bible school many times, especially Keith Moore. Keith Moore did this a number of times with me. I had questions I asked God. I wanted to know about certain things. And I would go to class, keep an expression. This happened about 3 or 4 times in his Holy Spirit class. We had a Holy Spirit class and his teaching. And I was sitting in class. I had these questions I had asked God before. And I'd come to class. Keith would get up and teach the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden he'd stop. He said, I don't know who this is for, but the Spirit of the Lord said this. And he goes right. And I think, that's exactly what I asked. I asked God about that. And he'd do it in his class. Yeah, I asked about it. God, in the middle of a whole class of people who wanted to learn about the Holy Spirit, would stop everything to talk to Ed to give Ed an answer. Is Ed special? No, Ed asked a question. I asked a question, something I didn't know. The Holy Spirit got a guy who could hear the Holy Spirit and knew the answer. Amazing. Last night, I was going to bed and go to sleep and going to bed, asked the Lord a question. Something about dealing with the end times. And just asking that question, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just started talking to me, telling me all kind of stuff. All because I asked a question. And I started, I can see that. And I found this out. We've missed it on some things concerning the end times. Because see, people, again, those, the traditions of men. People, we've taught things being certain ways. But I found out they're not that way. There's things that people are not looking at. See, we get over, and I thought, man, see, you ask the right question, revelation starts coming. Ask God questions. You know, I asked God about things. I said, Lord, I've told the Lord already. You know, certain things are taught certain ways. And I'll talk to him about why they're taught. You know, are we correct about some of this stuff? Are we correct? I found out sometimes we weren't correct about things. We were partially correct, but we taught it like it was the whole thing, and it wasn't the whole thing. People weren't trying to miss it, but we should have asked more questions. We should have asked more. So I always appreciate with Brother Hagin, when he and Jesus appeared to him and Jesus would tell him a certain things and he'd just out and out blurt out, well, I never saw that in the Bible. I just, you know, but he was a man of questions. He wanted to know. He was interested. He would question you. And he said, Jesus liked it. He did. I believe he doesn't like the fact that people don't. You have the one in you, the Holy Spirit in you, who can fulfill and knows everything. He knows all the mind of God. He's in you. You don't need him if you're not going to ask questions. You don't need him. Why would you have to have the Holy Spirit in you? You ask questions. I want to know. Teach me. See, I'm this big, this thing. Teach me. I need taught. Hallelujah. And so we want to, our desire is to be taught. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Genesis, to the 22nd chapter. Genesis 22. We're going to start today on this. We won't finish it, but we're going to start talking about it. I want to say this to you because of, and the Lord just keeps prompting me, I'll do that. Now I'll just, about, I've talked about this before. When I first got born again, these are questions that I probably even had when I was a sinner, things about it. Because of going to church, because, you know, people say God knows everything and he knows all, and which he does. And I thought, you know, you read scriptures in the Bible, and I read scriptures and say, God, if you knew everything, and I got down to this question. God, why did you create man? You knew people were going to fall. You knew all this was going to happen. You knew it. The thing with Adam, that wasn't... See, the thing with Adam, people always, you know, it's always been an interesting thing to me. At least to me, some preachers preach it. Well, man sinned and God made the plan for... And it's like, no, he didn't. It's like God didn't know Adam was going to fall. Well, he knew that for sure, Adam was going to fall. If Christ was foreordained, then he knew about it. Salvation of man, humanity, was already set in motion. So I would say, I just said, Lord, I was just a brand new Christian, but I said, Lord, if you knew all this stuff was going to happen, why did you create man? And I wanted to know that, and I could tell you where I was at. It was Reese Candy Company. I was working there. I had went downstairs to the locker room at lunchtime, and I was sitting down there. I'd gotten my Bible, and I would get down lots of time at lunchtime and that stuff, and rather than just sitting and talking, everybody talking their junk, I would go down and sit down and read the Bible some. And I just went down, and I sat down, and I was reading my Bible, sitting down by my locker. And I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you knew all this stuff was going. Why did you ever create man? What is this? I said, there's things. Because see, when I look at it, this is when people think that, you know, somewhere God's not fair, he's not doing something right. But see, we do that because of our limited knowledge. And I had limited knowledge, and I'll just say this. 99% of the church has limited knowledge in these areas. They don't know, because they never ask a question. Because religion teaches you this, don't question God. Don't ever say to God, you don't think something's right. Well, I've done said that a lot of times. God, this don't seem right to me. Mm-hmm. Well, you know why? Because if it's like they taught us, it ain't right. Mm-hmm. And if it is the way that they say, I need to know why. There has to be a way that God's not against people. He's for them. If anybody's for people, it's God. And when I asked the Lord that, when I asked that question, I immediately had a vision. And it was, the vision to me lasted, if I think about the actual, it was the craziest thing because it was a matter of seconds that I saw the vision. But yet, all of a sudden, I just knew all this different stuff. And it was mind-blowing. You know, until this day, it really still gets me that God, like last night, the Lord spoke a certain thing to me, and when He said it, all of a sudden I knew a number of different things. It's like, He says a couple words, and all of a sudden you know all this different stuff. It's like, how does He do that? We work so hard to know stuff. We study, we do things. He says a couple words, and all of a sudden you know all this stuff. It's like, that's why He's God and we're not.
Amen.
We need to tell more Christians that. He's God, they're not. He's amazing. But I had this vision. But the thing that marked the whole point is this of the revelation. It doesn't matter. See, people get all the intricacies of a vision, all the different things that happen. That's not important about anything in a vision. I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and it's a smart thing. Kenneth Hagin had visions, and Jesus appeared to him a number of times. And people want to talk about all the things from the natural that they saw and things of the vision. And he'd always say, that's not important. The only thing important about the vision is the revelation. What was the revelation? If a person has a vision and saw things, there was no revelation to it, to reveal from Scripture where you can walk by faith, probably wasn't God. The whole thing is what was revealed. And this is what was revealed. And then I saw things in Scripture that I never knew before. But these words came. Man is my key to put sin away for eternity. Man is my key. What He wanted me to know this, how important we are. We're going to look at Abraham. Man, God, you need to get this through you and get it through your head. We talk about people say, well, God's in control. Man has a bunch of control. And man can open the door for God to move phenomenally. Man can. We are God's key. Oh, I've heard ministers say, well, God don't need you. Well, then He can't do nothing here.
That's right.
If He don't need me, then let me alone. And you, preacher, quit bugging me, and you don't need my money God don't need you, I don't need you either. See, we have all these religious cliches that we throw out there, but they all lead us into unbelief and stop God from fulfilling the glory that He wants to in us. First of all, we need to understand our importance. That day changed me, and I got that change as a baby Christian. I realized, man, I got to find out why we're so important. What is it? And I found this out. God doesn't do anything in this earth except through people.
Mm-hmm.
You're God's key. See, if I don't move with God, I limit God and what He can do if I yield to Him. See, that's why the Lord said to me, then a very short time later, said to me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. See, if I'm led by the Spirit, I could allow God to lead me to things that He can use me or He can do things through me or to bless. We're going to find out. We want to read the story of Abraham. Abraham, because of what he did and walking with God, opened the door for the Messiah to come. And if he wouldn't have done it, God would have had to try to get somebody to open the door to bring the Messiah. The Messiah wasn't coming into the earth without man opening the door for it. That's why Jesus had to become... He couldn't save you unless He became a man. The authority in the earth is man. Jesus had no authority to save you if He didn't become a man. Had no authority to do it. He had to become one with authority as a man to deliver you and me. How important does that make you? How important are you in the plan of God? You need to see that. It isn't my... You know, you don't have to do what Abraham did if God didn't call you to do it. But whatever He called you, I don't care if it don't seem very significant. When God spoke to me, and said to me, and I've told you this many times, when the Lord spoke to me one night, I mean, young Christian, this was in 1983, you know. I've been born again, about maybe 3 years and about 4 or 5 months, and the Lord spoke to me and commended me for obeying Him and following Him and doing what He said. I was praying. I wasn't even praying about anything. I was praying about some other stuff I was praying about, because I was supposed to be going out to camp meeting that year, and the Lord told me I was going to receive an anointing. And that's when the teaching anointing came on me. He said, you're going to receive an anointing when you go out there. And I was praying about that, you know, because I wanted to know, well, what I was in line. You know, you want to get yourself in line to things. You don't just run off because God said, you know. And so anyhow, I was spending time praying about that. And the Lord said, because you obeyed me and done what I've said to do, He said, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters in. So all of my brothers and sisters coming in the kingdom was hinged on what I did. Just like with it, we're going to find Abraham here. We're going to find Abraham, what he did. We're going to find out what he did. See, God never asked me to do what Abraham was told to do. But just for me, obeying affected other people's life, what God could do to bring other people into the kingdom.
Amen.
This is why it is so important that you and I learn to follow God. The blessing that comes out. Following God, why? Because you can open the door for God to do things. Many people. Because people don't realize. When we don't follow God and walk with God, we're just doing our own religious thing and going along and doing that kind of stuff. It limits God and what He's able to do for people. But see, we're not told that. We're told God's in control. If He wants to do it, He can. But we don't find it in the Bible. Nobody on the base of the Bible's God, just do anything He wants. If God can do anything He wants, He's lawless. He's asking us to follow rules and He's unruly. It's never like that. God don't tell you to do what He don't. God don't tell you not to lie, and He's a liar. Man, I'll tell you what, I had a God preach to me growing up as a downright liar. You know, he could not do what He said if He wanted to, because He's God. He can do anything He wants, and you have the right to say anything about it. Because He's God. You know, you just sit down and be quiet. Hallelujah. But see, we need to see that man's the key. Now, I want to turn, we're going to look at reading. I want to opening up and reading here in the book of Genesis. In 22, in verse 1 says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, I'm reading for the New King James. King James says God tempted him. We're going to talk about that because God didn't tempt him. That word is not to tempt. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Now, well, see, we think, you know what? Now, you want to see, you think this is some great feat. Well, see, if you do, you don't understand what's going on. This is a thing of faith, and we're going to find out what the Bible says about it, because the Bible doesn't just talk about it here. It's about, and you're going to have to learn, because this is an area that you're going to have to learn to walk by faith, because we're going to find, I learned this, and you have to learn to practice this type of thing if you want to understand how faith works. God, now this is why it's important. God tested Abraham. He didn't tempt him. See, the King James says tempt. But the root word, this is a root word, which means to test. And it also is the idea to prove. God's going to prove Abraham. You see, you know, you don't have faith if it ain't been tested. Do you know if it works? See, you can tell me you have faith all you want. Well, let's see it. Let's see it do something. God knows whether or not you have faith, but you got to be proved. You got to know it. Test proves what you know. It doesn't prove what God knows. It proves what you know. You need to be tested, and God will test you. Many times here where people flunk, a test comes, and here's what we have. See, you'll never hear me say I don't like tests. You'll never hear me ever say that. People who don't like tests aren't too bright. Test prove what I know.
Amen.
And if I know it, it's the best thing I can do. I can't say what I know, and we'll prove it out what I know. You know? You know, when I was in the military, they would train us electronics. What they would do, we'd have tests, and this is what they do. They wanted to find out if you learn about you're taking care of electronic stuff, what you were able to do. And so they'd take equipment, they'd put bugs in it, and you'd have to go in and fix it and get it running. Well, some people say, I hate doing that. Well, why do you hate doing that? If you ain't learned to fix the things, you don't learn to go in there and take a test, you'll never be able to fix stuff. This is how you learn how to find out what you know. And then when you do this wonderful thing, because when you take a test and you find out things you didn't know. Oh, I thought I knew all about this, but I didn't. So now I learned something. Isn't that an awful thing to happen? People who don't like tests are people who are going to have trouble learning. Tests will put together with God. God, and understand this, God will never test you on what you do not have the information on. That wouldn't be a fair test. God's righteous. He does what's right. Many times we don't like it because tests make everybody, people get just uncomfortable. We're going into the thing. It's like Kenneth Hagin, you say this, and I heard from time as a young Christian, he said, great faith comes through great trials or great tests. Mm-hmm. He says, if you ain't had any, you don't have great faith. It's proven. That's why, you know, when I was in school and learning math and on up through, you know, general math until, you know, and then we started having geometry and trigonometry and all this kind of stuff they started giving us. You know, the tests were a little harder than they were with 1 plus 1. But today, that's what you hit 12th grade, you're still at 1 plus 1. Because they don't want to make you uncomfortable that you might not know something. And they're going to give you a diploma. And just take it to the bathroom and put it on the toilet paper roll. Well, that's about as good as it's worth. It's not building. No. The more the tests keep getting harder and harder and harder and harder, because the more you have to learn, you have to learn more. Just like anything, we did in electronics, you had to learn more technical stuff, more things that you had to understand. Then they took us to the point, they tested to fix things. Then they started teaching us how to engineer circuitry. They started taking us over and saying, okay, you guys got to be able to, under combat conditions, if you have a piece of radio go down, you don't have the right stuff to repair it. We teach you to engineer things to get things working so you can use things to some degree that you can communicate. So you have to learn about engineering circuits. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You found out that the repairing thing was really easy. This under field conditions, and you're trying to engineer something to make it work when part of it, you know, a bullet went through. And you see, we'll get this one fixed real easy. We'll send it down to the store, and they'll trade it in on a new one. Yeah, just ask me. I know a lot about electronics. I'm really good on computers. I know how to play games. Yeah, I really know a lot about just. But see, the more they did, is the more technical things, the harder it got to do, and the harder it got. But you know, the more you learned, I mean, till the things come up. I mean, when I was in Vietnam, I mean, me and another guy, they had Collins Corporation send in field radio, new field radios they sent in for. Out for infantry units and stuff to use, and they didn't have any repair manuals on them and that stuff. And they're guys who they're electronic engineers and that stuff that we had in the country. They didn't know nothing because they didn't do nothing. They just got paid a lot of money to walk around, act like they had something. But most of them, my words, and the squad, you wouldn't ask them a question about their equipment. They never knew anything. And so me and this guy sat down and wrote a repair manual. But you know, we would have never been able to do that had we not learned all that stuff. And all that time that those people tested us. Those mean people would test me and give me a test and expect me to pass it. If it wouldn't have been for them, wouldn't it never happen? Would it never taken place? I wouldn't have known enough to do something like that. But those guys, because they tested me, because they didn't just pay us, they had down the line and pat him on the back. And God ain't doing that. That's why Christians fail today. They think God, been taught this God of love, just pats you on the back and sends you down. No, he don't. No, he don't. We've destined people to failure, making them think they can just get by, and it doesn't. God expects you to grow, just like we want a child to grow. Do you still want to change the diaper of a 15-year-old? Is that what you want to do? Well, in a sense, that's what we're doing today. That's what we're doing. We're doing everything we can helping people stop growing up. We don't put demand on them. We don't put the test. The test never goes out. And really, we're ruining their lives, trying to keep them happy. I'm going to tell you what kids will do. They'll do exactly what I did as a kid. I didn't like what mom and dad are doing at all. I should be in charge. Thank God. When I got in charge with their life, and I got done messing it up enough. And when I accepted Jesus, I said, man, I got to get my life out of my hands. I'm not good at this. I need to get somebody else get a hand in my life. Somebody needs to do it. But we're going to see as Abraham because, I mean, this is a phenomenal thing. God talks to a guy one day, and the next day he gets up to go do what God said. The next day. Hey, I haven't always been that fast. And he never asked me to do what he did. Now, I want you to think about this because, see, people think this is really hard. Well, see, this the average Christian does not know what being born again means or is. We think that this guy wasn't born again. He's not born again Christian. He has a nature of sin. Yet, he's doing this. See, I've learned this. I learned this as a young Christian. You don't ever talk that junk. You don't ever get over and act like they had something special. Because all you do is you're giving yourself an excuse to fail. You're giving yourself an excuse. See, don't give yourself that excuse. I'm just going to tell you it. If I was in the position that he was, I could do it. And I could have the faith to do it. God would not test you in an area he has not given you the faith. I'm going to show you, as we teach this, we're going to find out, because this is important. Jesus is the Word of God, and you need to get the importance of Jesus. See, we said Jesus out here somewhere. We don't make him our life. He's never really part of the living our living mentality and our living thinking. He's sort of just some words out here and some stuff, and looking at what he's done for us and what he will do and how he'll work through us. We look people in the Bible, we should never marvel. Christianity in the book of Acts is the norm. That's what it is. It's the norm of a baby church. Oh, and we know so much today. And the baby church is miles ahead of us. But see, you got to change the way you think. You can't think like that. I can't look at Abraham and say, well, Abraham's a guy's way. Yeah, God could get him to do that. But you know, today it's different. It's different because we have a weenie gospel. We have, I'm forgiven, but we're just going to sin. I'm going to disobey. You know, that's just what we do. You know, that's just what we're like. God, we've lived up to it. We've had everything we said. The Bible's working! Don't feel bad about yourself. Learn to laugh at yourself. If you can't see yourself in this, you need to go home. There's no help for you. That's right, there isn't. There's no help for you. Hallelujah. There's help for me. God's still teaching it. It still needs help. But see, we got to go to a higher level. We got to walk to a place where we can see God's miraculous, where we can see, hey, God can reach anybody if we'll let him. Will we allow him to? God, I was like, you've heard me say, man, I don't want to be a dam. I want to be a river. Amen. The American church is filled with dams. It's full of dams. Hallelujah. We're not going to be a dam. Amen. Hallelujah. See, God didn't tempt this man. God didn't do any such thing to him. You know, the Bible says that no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted to God. James 1:13 says that. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. He's not asking him to do something. He was not telling him to sin. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and lust. Now we want to see with Abraham. How could Abraham, now I want to talk about the faith thing. God's testing him. But see, we need to look at more scripture. How does he end up where he is in belief? And this is what we want to get across this morning, is to this. How did he get where he was? How did he get to that belief? Well, this is Hebrews 11. Turn to Hebrews 11. It talks about Abraham. See, there's one thing. When we look at the Old Testament's a type and shadow, but the New Testament is really the light. It's the light. It gives the whole image of the picture. And we have a revelation from, written by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews. And this gives us, of what happened here, this Abraham, how did he do this? He did it the same way as you do things. He will do it exactly the same way you do things. That God works with you. It is no different. The same way. He says, by faith, in other words, Abraham did something by faith. When he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Well, if you go over, we're not going to go back to it, Genesis 21:12 says that. When God spoke to Abraham and said to him, he said, this Isaac, this son you're going to have, your seed is called in him. Your seed is called in this Isaac. Now, listen to this. Verse 19, concluding. Here's what Abraham concluded. This why? You have to have a good mind to have faith, because it requires thought. Faith requires thought. People have this idea, well, you just, faith is just throwing thought aside, just go do something. No, it's not. That's not faith. Faith, because it says this. Look at the word used here about Abraham. This Abraham concluding. Well, how do you come to a conclusion? Had to think about something. He thought about something. He concluded this. That God was able to raise him up, who? Isaac, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham did this. Abraham said, God said that this son of mine is the one the seed's coming through. Therefore, God's going to have to raise him from the dead if I sacrifice him. That's why Abraham went. Abraham's going to see the next miracle. Now, you see, people are scared to do what you want. Don't reason. Quit praying for miracles if you ain't going to obey. God's leading him to do something miraculous that is going to change humanity more than he ever conceived or thought in his mind what God's going to do in this instance. What his obedience is going to bring to pass is a phenomenal thing. But Abraham says, look, if I put him to death, God's going to have to raise him up. He concludes that, see? See, what we do, our faith is mostly, and most of the time, this is what, and I don't like this over in the faith realm, because I think a lot of things about faith, I don't like the way it's taught, because faith is this thing that you just, when a problem comes up, then you have faith. And then you go and something ain't working, then you just believe this. See, I watch people do this. They're in them. In a situation, say a health situation, they're believing God to be healed, and all of a sudden things turn worse, and then they start change what they're believing. Let's believe it this way. Hold it. You don't change the direction. Circumstances don't change the direction of the word. See, I pay people, and you know what? People never succeed to do that. See, this is why. Okay, why I tell some stories. See, this is why. See, what things I've learned this. What I conclude. See, when the Lord told me, and you've heard I tell this many times, but the Lord told me to tell it again today, and you've heard me, and it's not going to tell it. The Lord spoke to me to go to Mexico. He said, you go to Mexico on this mission trip. So I got a hold of the Scots and told them to talk about coming down. The one trip they were going down, yeah, I said, I'll come get down. I'm going to go down with you guys and go down this trip. He said, okay, going to go down. So the next morning, I'm going to be leaving. It's in the afternoon. I'm in the bathroom and that stuff, getting stuff ready, you know, sticking stuff in a shaving kit and doing things. Went to turn around to walk out of the room, and, oh, man, all of a sudden a pull on my foot, and my foot swelled up just like that. Tore a ligament, tore a ligament on my foot. Really weird. Man, pain shot through. Oh, man, God. So, I mean, it's just painful. It blew up and swelled up, and I thought, you know, I thought I need to do something about this. At first, I was going to just believe God. And the Lord said, no. He said, I want you to go into the ER. And I thought, well, you know, now we're going to the ER with this thing. And I thought, I'm going to listen to what he says. We're going to be, see, that didn't make any sense to me to go to the ER. See, but God said go, and I just, but, so I went in and I found this out. They couldn't do anything for me. They said, you know, you just got to keep your foot up. They gave me a boot thing to put on it. You'd put ice things in it. So what you do is you sit there with this thing on and that's it. Really don't do anything. You just got to take care of your foot for, you know, however many weeks or something like that till whatever has happened healed. That's really sounds nice. And I said, well, I'm going on a mission trip to Mexico. And they said, well, you can go, but you got to keep your foot propped up all the time. You need to keep your foot propped up all the time. I said, have you ever flown on a jet? Keep your foot propped up all the time. That won't be happening. But, you know, so I went home, me and the boot. We went home, you know, and Wanda said to me, this is going to be the exact thing of Abraham, said, are you going to go on the mission trip? I said, God didn't say I wasn't supposed to go. See, I concluded. God told me to go on a mission trip. He ain't said anything else. I concluded this. He's going to have to heal me because I'm going on the mission trip. Well, why would he send me on a trip? He didn't know that would happen. You see how many times you've been in these kinds of situations and you changed your plans and said, I'm going to believe God, and it didn't work, and wondered why it didn't. Because of what you concluded. You didn't conclude what God told you and what you knew. You concluded that you couldn't do something because another event happened. You concluded that. See, people do those things all the time. See, I've learned from those things. What he concluded, here's the information he had. And he concluded, God's going to have to raise this boy from the dead. I'm going to go see this. There's a miracle coming. See, I concluded when I had my heart attack, I concluded because I knew from the scripture, by his stripes I was healed. I'd filled myself with that thing. I concluded the fact that I was going to be well. I was going to be all right. I concluded the fact. That's why I said, I'm going to go up and go for a run. Why? I concluded that I could go for a run, that the devil couldn't kill me while I did it. Because I'm not trying to get healed. I was already healed. That's what I concluded. See, the person who's trying to get healed, don't you run nowhere. You get in an ambulance and get to the hospital. See, I concluded that I was healed. See, it's what you conclude. Understand, that's how this stuff works. Abraham, he didn't do nothing that nobody else has to do. He didn't do anything. He just concluded. God's going to have to raise him from the dead because he's the one that said, see, God ends up a liar. Is God going to be proved a liar? Are you going to prove God's a liar? Not you. You can lie and tell people, you faith, you whatever, you can say anything you want. If it didn't work, it wasn't God, it was you. Good preaching, folks. I've had to stop and say, Lord, what did I do wrong? Where did I miss it? Oh, we don't do that. No, well, I'll tell you, the word don't work. God don't do this. We don't stop and say, where did I miss it? What did I do that I didn't know, or what didn't I do that I was supposed to and knew it? But this is what Abraham did. Abraham just followed a principle of faith. This is a principle we follow all the time. Things come along in life, and what do? Why renew your mind with the Word of God? There's no point to it. If you can just make something up when something happens. No, you stop and conclude things. This is what the Bible says. This is my situation. I have the outcome of my belief. I don't have my outcome because the Bible says something if I'm not following in line with the Bible. I will have mine. I've had outcomes that were mine. I didn't always like that. I've had some of my outcomes. I wish I could have concluded better. You ever been there? Well, you ain't lived if you ain't ever been there. You never lived 2 seconds. But see, it's stopping. That's what Abraham, and God wants you to see this. This is why we're talking about this. It's coming to this conclusion. Abraham just had a good reason. He had a promise that God made, and God can't lie. God can't lie. That's why I concluded. When my brother called and said, my older sister who was not saved, we need to pray for her. If I would have started praying for her, I would have said God was a liar. I said, I'm going to pray for her. God said he would bring her in. He said, if you'll pray for them, I'll bring them in. Now, if he didn't tell you what he told me, you have no promise to stand on with that. I'm talking about what he told me. You know, he told Abraham Isaac was, through him, the seed was coming. That's what he told him. So he could stand on that. See, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, Jesus, in one of his visions he had with him, Jesus said to him, I'm going to hold you as accountable for what I tell you is what's written in the book. God spoke to you and told you something. You better follow it. See, when God told me he would bring them in, see, that was a covenant or a promise he made to me. He didn't make it to you. It don't mean he couldn't make it to you. But I'm going to tell you, I know this, you wouldn't get much in line to those if you aren't obedient, because I found out that promise that he gave me was because of my obedience. His promises, we're going to find out, Abraham's obedience is going to bring a major promise. And you and I are here at this promise. We're the heirs of this promise because of his obedience. What about if you obey? What happens? All my brothers and sisters are going to be in the kingdom because I didn't even do an Abraham, but it's going to bring them all in. Obedience, even in the little things. See, you've got to learn to be obedient. You've got to learn to obey what God tells you to do, because why? There's always, obedience always blesses more than you. That's why I'm big. I'm going to walk with it. When the Lord said this to me, if you'll, concerning my family, if you'll do what I tell you to do, he said, for my wife will be as a fruitful vine by my house and my children as olive plants around my table. If you'll do what I tell you to do. It's obedience. I don't care how much you know the word and confess it. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Obedience. Well, you might have the sacrifice of Jesus in your life, but if you're not obedient, you may not get to live that wonderful sacrifice of what that wonderful sacrifice can perform. You may not have it. Why? Obedience. And this is why God wants us to obey, because he wants you to see a miracle. He wants you to see something phenomenal. He wants you to see something. Why? Because you're important to him. You're a key of putting sin away for eternity. The key. Man's a key to putting the sin away for eternity. Man's a key of God. Hallelujah. One day, we're going to live in a kingdom and in a universe where sin has no effect anymore.
Amen.
A place of perfection. None of us know what that is. We can't imagine perfection. Because every day you've got to look in the mirror and you see Mr. and Mrs. Perfect when you look in there, don't you? We don't. I'll tell you, it's going to be so glorious. I can't imagine what it's be like. I mean, my words. I mean, it's just be the most phenomenal thing. It's going to be incredible. And there's no end to it. There's no time, because there ain't no use having time. It just goes on. Good just goes on and on forever. Hallelujah. Man and God living together. It says God's going to come and live with man. Woo! Hallelujah! Well, James said that one's tempted, he said, when he's drawn away by his own desires and lusts. So that's where we get in trouble, folks. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read to you about the seed. See, when Abraham, we get a revelation about this seed. And we look at the seed and say, Isaac. But Abraham had a revelation in his time. If you study Abraham, you found out Abraham, Scripture tells us, God showed him about the Messiah that was going to come. God showed it to him. But I want you to see this, because in Galatians, Paul wrote this about the seed Abraham. And it says this in Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. These promises were made to the seed. And he said, and he does not say, and to seeds, plural. He said seed. As of many, but as of one. And to you, to your seed, he's speaking to the Christian, your seed. Who is what? Who is your seed? Who is Christ? Your seed is Christ. You see, what he told Abraham way back yonder about seed, Abraham had a greater revelation than just Isaac. It was to your seed. God had shown him. Why? Well, as we go on in the story, we won't finish it off today, but as we go on in the story tells us about at the end, all humanity is going to be blessed. Everybody's going to be blessed. The Jew, the Gentile, everybody. All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. What was the blessing? It was the seed. Christ. Christ is the blessing to the world. Christ is the blessing to all humanity. He was the seed. Because Abraham obeyed what he told him to do, you and I got to stop and say, Abraham's obedience saved us. Do you know that? Abraham's obedience saved us. We wouldn't have Christ if Abraham's obedience. Abraham's obedience. See, this is why, you know, we're big on obedience. This is why the teaching today, you know, well, you sin and just, you don't have to repent, you do these things, you know, you just go on and as long as you think you're a real nice person and whatever, blah, 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 blah. But people need to understand the power that there is in the doing. The enormous power that's involved in doing. Abraham, hallelujah. He was a doer. What was read? James 2. Read James 2. James, the second chapter, in verses 20 through 22. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? In other words, what he did. You can say you believe something, but I learned this as a young Christian, about 6 months old in Christianity, when I asked the Lord a question about Kenneth Hagin teaching, and he was talking about acting on the word, and I said, Lord, what does he mean about acting? What do I do to act on the word? What do I do? What does this mean? And just a real short period later, I woke up one morning and I've told this story over and over. But this was I ask a question, now I'm going to get the revelation. Answer's going to come. Because God's going to teach Ed about acting on the word. And I wake up in the morning and they say, like, sick as a dog. I don't think dogs were that sick. I just felt terrible. And I'm laying there in bed. I haven't said a word. Now see, but I had asked a question. And now the test's on. Now, you understand, God didn't make me sick. He didn't make me sick. But the test's on. The test is on. Now we're going to find out. He's going to show Ed about acting on the word. He's going to teach me something. I'm laying there in bed. I'll never forget it. Just laying there. Hadn't said a word. This thought ran through my mind. I'm going to call off work, but I believe the word, you know, 1 Peter 2:24. I believe by his stripes I'm healed. I'm just going to call off the work and I'm going to do it. And that thought, I never said it. That thought went through my mind. And that followed with, down inside me, a voice said, if you call off work, you're going to lay in bed sick all day. Now, I knew this. That wasn't the devil. Now, look, Revelation's going to come. See, to me, now that's, oh man, what is this number? Then that same voice followed up and said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? So he asked, now here what he's going to do. He's going to move me over. God wasn't against me. God's really, he's escorting me in this test. He's taking me through this thing. He said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? And I said, yes, and I quoted it. Laying there in bed, I quoted it to him. And he said, and he followed up with this. Well, if you believe it's true, then get up and act like it. Oh. See, this acting on the word stuff, this is, hold it. I want a test that makes me feel comfortable. Lord, make me feel better so I can lay here all day. I can get a day off work, you know. I need a day off work, so I'm going to lie and tell them I'm sick. Hope you don't do that stuff, people. So I'll tell you what, you can forget this healing stuff. Can't do that kind of stuff. Can't do those kind of things. You can't be a liar. Yeah. I need a day off work. I just don't know. Oh, my words. I can't put the rocks away. Anyhow. So Abraham was justified by, his faith is justified by what he's doing. That's what God's trying to teach me. My faith is going to be justified by what I do. See, we're taught, faith is justified by your confession. I found out, you better have some works. You better have actions that correspond to what you say you believe.
Amen.
If you believe God's good, you act like it. Get that long face off of you. You act like the word's true. You just got to do that in your normal life, as you act like the word's true. You act like God's helping you. That's faith. Saying it and then acting like it's not true, that's dead. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Faith was made perfect by doing that. The perfect, in other words, faith was carried out to its end. Well, see, what I did is I got out of bed. I didn't feel a bit better. I got out of bed and I didn't feel a bit better. And I went in and I started getting dressed for work, but you know, I'm just obeying what it, you know. See, and I believe I'm healed. And I did get the revelation is I got to act like I got something instead of act like I'm trying to get God to get me something. This is what everybody should. Well, I'm believing God for healing. When you say believing God for healing, you're saying I don't have it yet. I'm believing for it. It ain't got here yet. It's not here. No, I don't believe I have it. I'm trying to get him to send it. And we're trying to get it, you know, overnight through FedEx. So I'm trying to get it. And so I thought of this, and so I just, you know, well, praise God. By his stripes, I'm healed. So I'm going to thank God I'm healed. I'll tell you, my body wasn't happy about it at all. My body was not excited about the fact what I was doing. But I learned this. Till I went and got to work, every symptom had left my body. Every symptom, I was completely well. And I learned this. From the time that I got born again, I learned this. Hey, never had a day off ever since. A day off sick. I was never off. I never missed what I was supposed to do. One time. Why? Because it works. It works. Never had one off. It wasn't nothing ever happened to me. I had things happen. I had things happen. I had things happen. One to keep me on. I'd get up. I'd say, no, I'm going to work. And every time, till I get to work, I think I'd be fine. I know I was at work one time and a flu epidemic went through and people were missing. We couldn't run all the lines and stuff we were supposed to. So many people off sick, flu epidemic. We were at work and I was at work one day and man, flu tried everything it could to get on me. And I was working on an oven which runs about 500 degrees. Real nice, comfortable job to be around. And you have all the flu symptoms coming on you and 500 degree temperatures and this is absolutely wonderful. But you know, I knew this. I couldn't lie saying, well, I believe by his stripes I'm healed and say, I got to get out of here. I knew I couldn't. I knew it. But see, it's like me. I'm going to do what I have to because I hate to be sick. See, a lot of people don't like, don't matter. People act like sometimes the other don't like being sick. But a lot of people, you know, they get a lot of mileage out of their sickness. You know, pet me. They get a lot of mileage out of it. I hate to be sick. Amen. Shoot me in the foot, but I don't want a fever and puke. Good God. I just know what, I hate that. I hate that feeling. It's just like, I don't like it. I'm not all really tough and can take pain. I just, no, let's get rid of it now. I had real pain one time. I had my spinal cord swelled up before I was ever saved. And swelled up, and you talk about pain. My whole body was nothing but pain. I'll tell you what, I wanted to die. If they would have had euthanasia in Pennsylvania, I think I'd have done it. And I ain't kidding. You just can't imagine pain. I mean, just pain. Just. And I'm sympathetic to people. You go through pain. You can only take so much of it, you know. And because of what was going on with me, they really couldn't give me a whole lot that would really help. I mean, it was just, you know, maybe put me to sleep or something. I don't know. But I was in pain. And I don't like pain. I'm not big on that thing here. We got to get over that thing. But I remember that day I said, praise God, by his stripes, I'm healed. And I'd start feeling better, a little bit better. But then all of a sudden, it'd just start trying to come back on me again. I battled for that for about 2 hours and then bang, and I was free. for 2 hours. 2 hours I thought through that thing, stayed on the job. I wanted to leave, but I thought, no, I'm going to work this thing through. I'm going to get past this thing. I'm just going to do it. Hallelujah. I'm getting past this thing. I knew on the inside I had it. But you're fighting this thing in your flesh. Number one, your flesh don't cooperate with you. If you're trying to get your flesh to cooperate with you, stay out of the faith game. The faith game, because your flesh is always going, oh, let's go whine and cry and run home. Let's, you know, let's set our thumb. Let's do something. Baby me, please. Say, oh, the idiot's having a heart attack. He's going for a run. What's wrong with this guy? He's crazy. So you don't need the devil to yell at you. Your faith, your flesh got a big mouth. It'll say all kinds of stuff to you. Your flesh will go against you. Your own flesh. Your flesh looks for comfort. It looks for the easy way out. It always does. But it usually picks the hard one. It picks the one that makes things linger and take longer. Oh, my. You got to learn to laugh at yourself. See, one of the things you got to learn about this, and especially in dealing with God, God tests Abraham, but I want to say this today, and I want you to get this. The Lord just said we need to close with this, but we need to get a hold of this. You need to understand that you can put God to the test. If God will not allow you to put him to the test, he has no business putting you to the test. God must prove himself. See, we use a thing in Malachi, and we talk about tithing, but in that scripture, Malachi 3:10 says this. God was talking to Israel because what happened was they quit tithing. They quit bringing the sort of, all the priests went home. See, through the tithe, that's how they got their offerings and sacrifices. Every day they had to offer two different sacrifices, morning and evening. Also, that's how the priests were paid through the sacrifice. That's how they got their grain and wheat and stuff for their own lives and stuff. Well, when no tithes are bought in, they went home and got jobs. Went to work, take care of themselves. So the sacrifices aren't going up before God every day. So Israel's living open to the devil. See, the church world, we need to understand this, is dealing with this stuff is... from the standpoint of ministry. You know, some people, we have a lot today, people, you know, we don't need the church, we don't need this, but as soon as something happens, the church is supposed to marry them, the church is supposed to do the bury them, the church is supposed to do all these different things, but we don't need the church. You get into trouble, they call the church, give me some food, give me this thing. And those people that destroy the ministry. They're the people who are always working against the ministry, stopping God from being able to bless. See, we live in a taker mentality in a nation. We live in that place. The tithes and that stuff, things coming in, allows things to bless and people be blessed. Now he says this, he goes, that there may be food in my house. He said, try me. He said, try me. Now that root word there means, that's a root word that means to test. Test me. Test me now in this. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now this, understand, was under the law. They had to, this wasn't by faith, it was by works. They had to do the work to be blessed. We don't, we in the New Testament, it says we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's an already done deal. That's why you can believe you receive. We don't tithe to get blessed. We tithe because we're blessed. That's a whole different, we tithe because of love. We give because of love. That's why we give. Love gives. That's what it does. That's just the nature of love. So love gives, and you need to get that over to yourself and understand. We're not trying to get God to bless us. He's already blessed us, it tells us, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. See, now, preachers preach this today, and they use this thing here to try to get people to give them money. See, you got to give so God will open the windows of heaven. Well, you need to get saved and get out of the law. That's the law did that. Now, we can learn from this because God said to him concerning. So I want to say to this, if God's blessed you with every spiritual blessing, then try him in it that he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Right. Try him in it. That's what he's asking us to do. You can use the principle. We just use it in under our presence, which is a higher level. They were not blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. They had no authority over demonic powers. They had not. We have all that. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in every place in Christ Jesus. So you have that. Well, try it. Listen what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. And we'll close with it. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-20. Look what he said to here then. We're going to start at verse 19. It says, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Now, I want you to get verse 21. He said, test all things. Test it out. Then what does he say? Hold fast to what is good. In other words, test everything and then hold fast. What you prove out that it works, hold on to that. You see, I found out, you know, there's ministers that preach stuff and did things about and taught stuff, and they weren't right. And I put it out, and it don't work. It doesn't work. It's not in line with the word. It don't work. We don't want to hold on to that. People hold on to all kinds of things that don't work. No, you prove it out. I thank God, as a young Christian, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. He said this. It was he practiced this scripture. I never realized that that was exactly in the scriptures till later on. But he said this. He said, "I don't teach anything that I don't prove out, found out that it works." Don't tell people God's good and you live like He's not. Prove all things. No, prove all things. When you see something in scripture, prove it out. You see, I learned to do that with God. There's things that I've found in scripture, and I went to God. God, you know, your word says this about this, and you know, it doesn't say, I see people operating in this, but this is what it says. Is this so? Or am I missing something? I want to know. And I'll set myself in a direction to prove out things. And sometimes I found out I needed to know other things beside that. But proving it out, and over time I proved things out. I proved out, my Wanda and I, we proved out about giving and stuff, and God bless, we proved that out over time. God started us out, and we sat there, and it proved itself out. 2014, when the Lord told me to talk to me about some areas of giving and what to do, I did them, and He proved it out. And after He proved it out, I told people. See, you can go telling people once you find out it works. And I didn't do it one time, I proved it out time after time that it worked. And then you tell people about it working. You can prove it for scripture. Why? You prove it out, test it out, and then you'll find out, well, what works? If it didn't work, well, don't hold on, it didn't work. A lot of people hold on to what don't work. Christianity is full of things that people haven't preached and don't work. Oh, they say all these things, but it don't work. But He tells us here, test all things. Well, what's Paul talking? Test all things. What is he talking about? See, this is one thing in the Word. See, find out for yourself. See, I don't care what another man preaches. That don't mean you can do it. He might be exactly right, but you prove it out. See, people many times hear somebody preach something, they run out the door and they start doing things, and it's like, hold it, stop. Get yourself back to where you're ready to run a test. You know what they'll do, say, like in a science lab? They'll sit down and do a test. They just don't start pouring chemicals together. You know, they might find you in another county somewhere. They might find you someplace else or something else, or just pick your body up right where it's at and drag you out. You know, when you're doing tests, you ought to have some kind of sense about what you, in other words, you set up. I've sit down and figure out things of God, find out what the Word says. Get myself ready to take the test. You know, when I was in school, that's what we did. They didn't walk in one day and generally, and they just say test. They hadn't told you. They just throw it out there. They'll tell you about tests. You'd know things about tests, even if they didn't tell you. You know, like every so often they gave you tests on things. And you'd know this thing's going on. Set yourself down. See, you're trying to prove something if it works. Have you really thought it out? What have you concluded? No, we haven't thought 2 seconds. I just have a need. I have this. You know what? Most things that I proved out were not at the time that I really needed that. The things you really need it right now, and you can't wait. You're impatient. And you can't. Sometimes you're in a position, man, you need some help. And you're really not in a good time to take no tests. You're going to have to get it best you can. You take tests when the problem ain't going.
That's right.
You got to learn to do that. Yep. You don't wait on this healing thing till you get real sick. Amen. I'm just telling you this. Don't start getting on to trying to believe God for healing when you can't get a hold of a cold. You start working on things, you get a hold of little things. After a while, you'll find you get a hold of big things. You know, Wanda and I have gone through some things, but we found this and we proved it out. We proved it out through the little things and proved them out over time. on the little things and test a little here, test a little there, and it steps you up, it steps you up. Big things come. You can come to some good conclusions. And you need that, because at times when the big things come, man, they want to shake your world. We've had some things that wanted to shake our world, but it couldn't shake our world because we had went past test after test after test. We have proved the word and held on to the good stuff that we found out. And it was the stuff that we could pull right out of our toolbox, throw it into our conclusions, and say, this will work because why? We have proved this. This is what we stood before. This is what God did. This, He's faithful. He said this, so He's going to have to take care of that. See, it's getting yourself into that. This is a good faith lesson. This is a wonderful faith lesson we're teaching. It's practical. And it is. It's a practical thing. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nobody sitting in this place. We've risen to the top of anything.
Amen. Amen.
I'd rather still go after the little bit than trying to, you know, I ain't going to try to eat the elephant in two bites. I ain't going to be, because they're going to find you choked on the floor and carry you off. You know? It ain't going to work. You do it in little bits and pieces. You know, and just learn. You know, when I was a young Christian, when you're young, it's just like young in regular life. You get impatient. You know, you want to get to the top. You know, you want to believe for the miracle first time out. That's fair. We're always looking for. This is one thing as I learned about youth, whether it's spiritual youth or regular youth, this is the way you are. Youth always go the path of least resistance. That's what I. Always looking for the path of least resistance. Well, you're in the wrong place of faith, because that ain't the faith life. Sometimes it leads you right through all the resistance. It just does. See, I was in trading electricity. That's what electricity. Electricity flows the path of least resistance. Always does. So it'll always go like that. And I've always said people are like, people flow the path. Especially when you're young. When I was a kid, I always wanted to go the path of least resistance. But I had this big resistors, these my mom and dad. They weren't mean to me. They taught me how to. I grew up being able to take care of my life and didn't have to depend on everybody else to look after me.
Amen.
Even as a drunk, I did better. And I'm serious. Loads of people. Because we were taught how to take. We didn't look for somebody else to take care of my life. The government, we didn't run to the government every time we wanted something or needed something, run to somebody else to try to get something. We didn't do those things. We were taught you're responsible for your life, so you learn to live. And I thank God for that. Because getting over Christianity, I realize you can't. Christians who live the looking always for the path of least resistance, they never grow up spiritually. Never grow up spiritually. They don't do it. It doesn't work. You're going to live godly in Christ Jesus. You're going to suffer persecution. So don't live godly so you don't have to face that. Take the path of least resistance. Live like all the people around you. If you live like them, then they won't hassle you or anything. But then again, you get to spend eternity with them. Hey, we'll all have fun together for eternity. It'll really be nice. The lake of fire, what can you say? Get a beachfront property on the lake. It's going to be wonderful. You know, it's like, whoa. So, no, I would rather learn how to go through the test.
Amen.
I'd much rather learn how to go through the test. Hallelujah. Say, do you ever get persecuted? Not much that I notice anymore. I don't even care. I don't care what people say anymore. I don't even care.
Amen.
Call me what you want. My words. I'll even send you a letter with some names you can use in case you missed some. Say, I have heard people call me this already. Why don't you use that one? That's better than the one you got. It don't matter. It don't matter what people say. Hallelujah. God's good no matter what people say. God take care of us no matter what men they say. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. But you're important to God's plan. You are huge. Your obedience. Could you change a nation by your obedience? Could you? And I'm serious about it. I'm just going to tell you. All as I know is I just, there was really some things that, plus, you know, things that had happened to Wanda and I concerning things, and we stuck with God with God and the message of faith and stuff when we were trying to be pulled away from it. That's the only thing that I knew that did, that God said to me, because you obeyed me. It wasn't some great thing. But the fact that God would made a covenant with me that he would bring my entire brothers and all my brothers and sisters into the kingdom because I obeyed that. I mean, I didn't do an Abraham, but the fact that he would do that. And you need to get over and think about this, you know? This obedience, the importance of it, the importance that you have in the plan of God. It's not some great weight thrown on you. God's speaking to all of us to do things. We either listen or don't listen. I mean, it's just that simple. When you sit down and say, I don't want a God like that, I'm sorry, that's the way it is, whether you're listening or not. Amen. It doesn't matter. I just decide, well, there is really good benefits to paying attention. There are good benefits. And I found out this. I don't have to spend night and day praying about my brothers and sisters and trying to wring my hand whether they're coming into the kingdom. I don't have to do that. God promised. And he's going to have to do it. And if he don't do it, he didn't say it. Now, if you do all these other different things, he just said to me, you've already done what's required. I'm going to do this for you. God made a promise to David, and he messed up big time after he made the promise. But God never changed the promise. He said, you're always going to have somebody to sit on the throne. And it worked. Why? It was based on promise, not works. Hallelujah. See, God wants to make some promises to you personally. God, through the Bible, we have this all the time where God made covenant things with individuals because of obedience, that he made covenants. How much more with you? See, don't see yourself as, well, he'll do that for big so-and-so over here, or he would do it for, because they have this wonderful ministry, they're doing all this stuff. Hey, they're anointed to do it, and ain't them doing it anyhow. I can't take credit for what I do with anointing a ministry. It wasn't me anyway. It's God. I can't take credit for the anointing to teach. I'm sorry, it ain't my anointing. You know, it got it from him. Mm-hmm. And if he takes it, then it's just me. Mm-hmm. If I'm dumb enough to let it go, I'm going to say, sometimes people do. You know? And it's hard to do. It's like Wanda says, she's talking to a guy at school there and said about his pastor. How old is his pastor? Or something like that. He's a pretty older guy. And they were talking about it. He said about his pastor. He said, about his call on his life. He said, he was older than me, but anyhow, he said, he'll be preaching to what he said till he dies or something like that. He said in the pulpit. He said, because he had asked Wanda how old I was, and he said, they're still a pastor. And he said, yeah, he said, about the gift. The gift's on you. You can't get away from it. And you can't. Oh, you can if you want to. You can leave it. Sure. But there's blessing it'll bring. So you can decide you want your life. See, young people, they want to retire. See, what do they want to do? They want to go on vacation for some years. You know, that's what they're doing today. People want to go, you know, I want to retire. You know, I want to retire, live to be, you know, 75, 80 years old. I want to retire, you know, at 60, and I want to live all the rest of these years picnicking. Well, that's not the plan of God. That's the plan of man. That's the plan of man. God never, you know. Abraham didn't go on retirement. He just blessed. Now, people don't want to bless. What they want to do is, we want to be blessed. You know, they want to do it because, see, they don't believe they're blessed. They don't believe working is a blessing. Working is a blessing. The Bible says it is. The Bible says working is a blessing. If you don't like working, you're not the blessing of God. God says work's a blessing. I'm sticking with what God said about it. You know? You don't think work's a blessing? He said, God will bless the labor of your hand. I don't care what you try to do in giving. If you don't put your hand to something, don't be surprised it ain't working. Mm-hmm. Don't sit around and gripe about work. Right. I don't like it, but it's working. I have a choice. You know, I always like, no one, you're waiting to find someplace, somebody says, well, you know, they have this saying. And folks, this is just a saying. You know, if you find a place, something you like to do, you'll never work a day in your life. All liars who ever said that are liars. There ain't nothing you're ever going to do. You're going to like everything about it. And anybody says you like you never work a day in your life, if you didn't work a day, then you didn't do nothing. Work requires labor. And it's something to do that requires you to do something. And there's nothing in life that you're going to do that you're going to like everything about it. You're not. Ministry's that way. You know, let's say taught us in Bible school. You spell ministry, W-O-R-K. That's what you tell us all the time. Here's how you spell ministry, W-O-R-K. It's work. I mean, you know. You know, I'll go home this afternoon. We'll go to lunch. I'll go home this afternoon. And probably about 5:30, I'll be done. I will sit there. I'll take it and I'll edit the, go through the sermon, edit the sermon, get it ready, prepared so it can be put online and stuff. See, I don't go home to it. See, I'm supposed to have off Monday, last. I very seldom get a whole day off work. I'm probably lucky, you know, if I don't just take a day off and one off. But, you know, hey, don't feel sorry for it. You know, I'd rather have the anointing of God and go to work every day and go to work every day than have, than do whatever. It don't matter. It's not important. See, you give up things in your life and your time and stuff when everybody just, people can pick up and go when they want, you know. You can pick up and go on your weekends whenever you want. I can't. How'd you come in here and then I'll take off, you know, 10 Sundays a... Oh, no, you need to be here and work. But now I'm at work, I want to, so I'm off, you know, a lot of times. I want to work someplace where you get a lot of time off. I don't even know. We never even set time vacation. If I worked in some place, I'd probably have a lot of weeks vacation. But I don't even view it that way. I mean, to me, it's not what it is. And I'm happy in the will of God. It's because it's always easy and everything's great and easy to do. It's not what it is. But you got to find pleasure in what you're doing. And it's not always about yourself. It's what you're doing. You know, is whether you're working something, what are you producing? Are you producing or just griping about what you have to do? See, I learned, God taught me when I got born again, I had to learn all over again because, see, I was a griper at work. And if you're still a griper at work, well, maybe you need to get born again or start acting like it. Amen. And start getting yourself over. You know, if you're a griper and that kind of stuff, you shouldn't get promoted. You should never have a boss as a griper. Because all they will do is they will spread that seed to everybody. Mm-hmm. A griper should never be, any company, I don't care how good you are in a job, you should never be made a supervision if you're a griper. Mm-hmm. Do. Isn't this fun to listen to? Isn't this exciting? Here's America. The squeaky wheel's always put at the top. Yep. That's the failure of our country. You don't put the griper at the top. See, God had to teach me that. You put that stuff away. Now you're out here working and that stuff. It's about sinning. You can't be griping and complaining every time. You can't complain about people over you doing wrong. I just learned this. If they do it wrong, that's their problem. They just pay me to do it again. If it don't work out, then they pay me to come in on weekends and pay me, you know, on Saturday they would pay me time and 3/4 or double time on Sunday. So it didn't matter to me. Mess up in what you're calling me to do, I ain't griping about it. I'm getting paid again. To me, that the dummies gave me job security. Because they needed me often to come in and run things. People come and write, they tell us any of this or that and don't work out. I say, what do you care? It's their decision. They run the company. Say, do you own the company? No. Well, when you buy the company, then you can say how it can be run. And then you can have all the people telling you what a jerk you are. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When you get to, you know, supervision, and I was there, and you had all those people calling you a jerk all the time. And I learned then, you don't pay no attention to it. Because you can't pay attention to them. Because anywhere you put in charge, the complainer don't like whoever's in charge. Because they don't do everything I want. I found that out. I'm living in a world. And people don't do what you want. You have a choice. You can be a griper, a complainer, and just go home and laugh. Or go home and whine and make your family miserable. Mm-hmm. Tell them your troubles. Amen. See, Wanda and I, you didn't bring a junk, you didn't bring the junk home. You never bring the junk home. Nah. Can't live a life like that. You know, take them out and shoot them. You don't bring your junk home. Why? You don't bring it home. You keep the house. A place where you like to live and not a place where you, man, I've got to go home. See, I'm Leo. Can't stand work. Now I've got to go home. Can't stand it there either. See, I don't see how people live like that in life. Amen. They don't like their work. They don't like their home. They don't like... It's no place. There's no place of peace. Mm-hmm. We made our home our castle. Amen. We live to sit on the wall and shoot anybody that wants to bring trouble in. That's what you do. You sit on the wall, and when they come, that's the enemy. You don't let them bring it in.
That's right.
You don't let your children bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot them off the wall. Or just let them in and throw them off the wall. I learned that from my mom and dad. My mama, she'd have never put up with your junk. She's a little lady, but whoop you good. She was strong. I'll tell you, if you'd have put her in the ring, she'd have probably whooped half these wrestlers on TV. She had a grip on her that was like a vice. And she got a hold of you. If you did something wrong, you always did it at a distance. Because if she got a hold of you, you're done. Strong? Man. Amazing, that little lady. She'd get a hold of you. Tough. I mean, all us boys. She wasn't afraid of none of us. You grow up and she still ain't afraid. But we stay back. Keep it cool, mama. Keep it cool. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you know, they taught us in life, and there's only your home. And I tell you what, you want your home a place.
Amen.
There's always one thing. You went home, we always knew that the people at the house liked you.
That's right.
And you don't have that, folks. You need to understand that. That's why you don't bring this stuff up, because it gets home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to get this stuff off my chest. You get it someplace else off your chest.
Yeah.
You get your junk off your chest someplace else. You don't drag it to the house and bring your garbage and dump it.
Amen.
You know, so I have garbage cans. We take our garbage and set them out, and we pay them to haul it off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that stuff. Don't you run a house over the garbage. The garbage
Amen.
Is dumped in the house.
Amen.
Live in that trash.
Mm-hmm.
You don't live in that place. Ain't nothing right. You can't have peace. You can't have, and you need that. Out here in the world, you walking through. You know, one of the things that they had was used as a really from a scriptural standpoint. They used to wash people's feet when they came into the house. And the whole point was, is people in those days they walked in the roads. It was dusty, and all that stuff gets on your feet. You come in the house, they'd wash your feet. You left your dirty shoes sit, and you washed your feet, and you were clean coming into the house. See, there's a spiritual principle that you get that junk off. You don't bring the junk from the outside walking in the world all day, all through the nuts. You don't bring the nuts home. You wash it off your feet before you get it in the house. So you're going to walk in the world, and it's junk out there. It's going to get you dirty.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's going to get you dirty. Get it washed off. Take it off outside. Hallelujah. See, it's a hugely important thing. It's like the Bible talks about a man isn't even supposed to be a minister. If he can't take care of his own household, he's not supposed to be the head of the church.
Why not?
I don't say, oh, if he prays a lot and he does all this and he's a good teacher, then it's okay, he does it. No, that's none of the qualifications. The qualifications are 100% how his household is.
Yeah.
See, you got to have that right household. The church hasn't done that. The church hasn't done those things. They haven't done the things that the Bible said was important. They haven't done those things. And they're trying to have blessing. Hallelujah. Well, I think I'm done meddling now. Let's stand to our feet. But these are good things, folks. These are not to hurt you. It's the things we learn over time, you know. We didn't have that. You asked Wanda when I was a sinner. We didn't have the household like that.
Amen.
We had a raging maniac. Run around, and you know you can't have you're gonna have to make the change and see people turn around. They don't see their effect on others and that stuff. And the obedience, why obedience is so good. That's why God dealt with me so much about how I acted at home and how I acted toward my family and what I did. Then He taught me at work of how being in charge, what you have to do and how you have to act around people and that stuff. Don't let them throw their junk over on you. Don't allow them to do that. This is what we're going to do and follow, and this is what you're going to do. And if you don't like it, it's too bad. You can scream and yell. And when it's all over, you're gone and I'm still here.
Amen.
You're gone and I'm still here. Say, it don't matter to me, however you want to do it, but I ain't going to fuss and fight with it over. I'll just turn you over to the guys out front, let them shoot you, throw you out the door. There you go. Whatever you like to do, it's up to you. But I ain't going to fight and fuss about it. They tell me what to do. Well, then I'm just going to obey. I'm going to obey. If I don't like doing what they tell me, I can leave.
That's right.
My job ain't to change them. They didn't hire me to come and change them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't hire you there. Was one of the questions they asked you when you got your job? Did you going to come here so you can tell us what to do? We're looking for a person like that. We're looking for the guy who will come, and if he don't like what we're doing, will you complain about it, please? We're looking for that. We're looking for that kind of a person. Because you're going to find this out. The person who's a complainer, they don't listen to them.
Sure.
That's what they have. Because, you know, that attitude, they're tired of the attitude.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're tired of the attitude. It doesn't matter right or wrong. They don't want that stinking attitude. And it is. Because you can't have it. Why? Let me know. God's told me enough about the attitude thing. See, it isn't men don't like your attitude. If it's wrong, God ain't happy with it either.
Amen.
And you wonder why we pray and things don't work? This is what the Lord told me, that He said He was more interested in my attitude than anything. Because He said my attitude determined a lot on what I was going to do and my attitude on things. My attitude, why? Even why you do things. Why are you believing God for what you're believing? Are you believing God just to get more stuff to go do what you want to do? Or are you going to follow Him? What's your attitude?
Mm-hmm.
Attitude toward people. Why? Whatever. Why do you want change? Because you're uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
Is that why it could? Because it affected, what about affect somebody else? Why are you interested in nobody else? It's about me. Is what's going on okay for everybody else, but I got a problem? They ought to all change to keep me happy. The heck with the rest of them. Your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
See, learn to do that. Learn to, if you come, because your attitude really is going to govern.
Amen.
Govern about yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're important to God.
Hallelujah.
And your obedience is important, because I see one thing, He wants to do miracles.
Amen.
And He wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to do. He wants your faith to go to a higher level. He wants to take you to something greater. That's what He wants. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if anything, right now, we need a God who's going to be able to do His miracles. We want Him to be able to carry them out. So we want to be able to allow Him to work through us. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Just do what He says to do, and that's it. What you see to do. There's some people, you know, every one of us, we're different levels here at Place of Spirituality. We're all at different spots. I will just tell you, I know this, the fact that God requires more out of me, even for the office I stand in, than He does you, because my office.
Mm-hmm.
He requires more. It's one of the things He told me years ago. He said, I allowed you to go through loads of things. He said, so you could teach people faith. Maybe you won't have to go. There's one thing. If you listen, there's things that you won't have to go through if you listen to what I teach. There's things that I went through you may never have to even enter into, because you'll know how to get around them if you pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I learned from Kenneth Hagin. There's things that I didn't have to go through that he went through, mm-hmm. because he learned them, and he had went through some of the hard knocks that I didn't have to go through, the hard knocks,
mm-hmm.
that I learned how to operate by faith to get around some stuff. And so, learn to listen. Learn to walk in the Word. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank You today, because You are phenomenal. You're incredible. Hallelujah. And Father, the Scripture is true that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And Lord God, You are good. You don't do evil to people. You're not doing nothing bad. Father, when You look down at Your people, oh my God, Your just heart goes out to them. Hallelujah. Your desire, hallelujah, to see all that You've done for them be fulfilled in them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. You're not holding back, Lord. I've learned over time. There's things I did that held things back. It wasn't You.
Amen.
I did. Hallelujah. But Lord, in Your great mercy and kindness, You take the time to teach us and train us and show us, Lord God, what we can do. Father God, I want to thank You, just as You worked in Abraham, You'll work in us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we can walk by faith. Hallelujah. And You told us, that's what the righteous do. The righteous live by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. And Lord God, Lord, we just accept that's our life. That's who we are as the righteous. Hallelujah. Living by faith. Hallelujah. Walking in this road of faith. Lord God, that this is just as natural for us to trust You. Hallelujah. It's just natural for us. It's not something strange. It's something natural. And Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that the revelation of things we talked about here today, that they fall on their hearts, Lord God. They grab a hold of it. Lord God, so, Lord, that they can step into those areas of life where the richness of your blessing can come through them to others and bless, hallelujah, in these last days. Father God, that your signs, wonders, and miracles will go forth. Lord God, Lord, when they prayed for boldness, Lord God, in Acts, in Acts the fourth chapter, they prayed for boldness. They said, and by boldness, by you reaching forth your hand to heal, the signs and wonders. Lord God, that Lord, when your signs and wonders and stuff are flowing, people get bold. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord God, you're reaching forth your hand, demonstrations, manifestations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Especially, Lord, in this day and time, you're healing power working through your people dramatically and dynamically in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, and we're going to walk in the boldness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To speak your word. Hallelujah. And so we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. You're raising up a people full of glory.
Amen.
Full of your glory. And I want to just say thank you. Thank you for being so patient with us. Thank you, Lord God. You've never quit. Hallelujah. You just keep calling and calling and saying, come on. Hallelujah, Lord. We've stumbled. We fell. But you just say, oh, get up and come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're so good. Hallelujah. And I thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for directing us today. Thank you for instructing us. But also, thank you very much for correcting us. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, the Bible tells us that you scourge the ones you love.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And Lord God, I just want to thank you. Lord God, sometimes we hear things and Lord God, it might seem to scourge us, but Lord God, it's because you love us.
Amen.
Lord, because if we don't learn, there's a price to pay.
Amen.
And Lord God, you know I've paid some of those prices. And Lord God, I want to thank you that you continue, hallelujah, you continue to correct and direct. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. You're raising up soldiers.
Amen.
You're raising up an army. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, there's no civilians in this camp. Hallelujah. Lord God, there's a war going on. And whether people want to enter it or not, it's a war. And Satan is warring, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But hallelujah, you're raising up soldiers.
Amen.
Ones, Lord God, who have the victory.
Amen.
And I want to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord God. Amen.